Welcome to the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine. Meet him, greet him, treat him, and street him. Today's date is June 16th, 2013, and I am your skeptical host, Ken Milne. Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. I hope you're having a great day. The title of today's podcast is Ultra Spinal Tap, and we're going to start with a similar case scenario from a previous podcast. So you have a 66-year-old man who presents with a 48-hour history of fever, lethargy, and headache. No significant past medical history, and on physical exam, he has a temperature of 38.8 degrees Celsius. GCS is 15. He has a stiff neck on flexion and no rash. Urinalysis and chest x-ray are normal. Laboratory testing reports an elevated white blood cell count with a left shift. You decide he needs an LP to check for meningitis. So the question of today's podcast is, can an ultrasound be used to improve successful lumbar puncture attempts? Now, you know that there are procedures that may decrease the risk of post-LP headaches. Just listen to the SGEM number 34, This Is Spinal Tap, for all the details. But there was three main things. The first was use a small gauge atraumatic needle. The second thing was reinsert the stylet prior to removal of the spinal needle. And the third thing to decrease post-LP headaches was mobilization of the patient after completing the LP. But today, we're not talking about post-LP headaches. We're talking about whether or not ultrasounds can be used for improving successful LP attempts. So the reference we have for this is by Shaikh, and that's S-H-A-I-K-H, et al. In the BMJ. And it's entitled, Ultrasound Imaging for Lumbar Punctures and Epidural Catheterizations, Systematic Review and Meta-Analysis. Now get this. This was published online March 2013. Yes, March 2013. We are cutting that knowledge translation window down from an average 10 years to 3 months, well below the 1 year we are aiming for. We are turning Med-Ed on its head. Your car is your classroom, and we want you to get the best care for your patients based on the best evidence. The PICO for this systematic review was the population included a database search of Medline, Embase, and Cochrane, and it identified close to 3,000 individual studies. And once you went through the process of inclusion and exclusion, they ended up with 14 studies with an N of 1,334 patients. The intervention was ultrasound-assisted lumbar punctures, of which there were 5 studies, and epidurals, which had 9 studies. The control was unassisted performance of these techniques, and the outcome, the primary outcome for this study, was reduction of failed attempts. And they were able to put 12 of the 14 studies together to be able to analyze this as a meta-analysis. So the main result from this study was looking at failed procedures. And there was 12 studies, which included 1,234 patients. And they showed a 97% risk ratio reduction. The 95% confidence interval went from 57 to 90%, with a number needed to treat of just 16. Now, they did look at traumatic procedures, and there was 5 studies they were able to examine with the traumatic procedures. And it had a risk ratio reduction of 73%. And so the number needed to treat in this case was 17. These are pretty impressive numbers. Pretty impressive numbers. So the author's conclusions were, quote, ultrasound imaging can reduce the risk of failed or traumatic lumbar punctures and epidural catheterizations, as well as a number of needle reinsertions or redirections. Ultrasound may be useful adjunct for these procedures. End of quote. Well, like I said, this looked very, very impressive, doesn't it? Wow, you know, like 79% reduction, 73% reduction, pretty impressive. However, when we turned our BEAM, Best Evidence in Emergency Medicine, skeptical and critical eye at this BMJ paper, we found some, issues. First of all, there was no blinding for the patients. While this might affect subjective outcomes such as post-LP headaches, which were not examined in these studies, lack of patient blinding should not affect objective outcomes such as failed or traumatic attempts. Despite this, how hard would it have been to blind the patients to whether or not you were using ultrasound? How about just put a little ultrasound jelly on the back, rub the probe back and forth, don't have the machine on, and then do the actual LP or epidural. In addition, only 5 of the 14 studies were done for LPs. The rest were for epidurals. Half the patients in the study were obstetrical patients. Now, I like seeing obstetrical patients in the emergency department and taking care of these patients, but half of my patients are not obstetrical patients. And all the physicians involved were ultrasound keeners. Now, because I have a keener contest, I really like keeners too. But these were the ultrasound keeners. These were people that were really, really interested and motivated to do ultrasounds. So these things limit or weaken the external validity of the results to the emergency department setting. So the BEAM bottom line from this BMJ study from March 2013, well, there needs to be an adequately powered, blinded, randomized control trial of emergency department doctors on consecutive emergency department patients in need of a lumbar puncture and showing a difference in patient-oriented outcomes. Until then, we would suggest maximizing the methods proven to improve lumbar puncture techniques before we start adding unproven modalities. And remember, those at least for patient-oriented outcome of post-LP headaches, those things were small atraumatic needles, reinsert the stylet after performing the LP and before removing the needle, and mobilizing the patient after bed rest. So the case resolution, well, you successfully perform the LP without an ultrasound, send off the CSF to the lab for analysis to rule out meningitis. For the Keener contest, the hoser, and you have to be a hoser to win this one, the hoser who won last week wasn't Canadian. No, it was Constant Koelsma from the Netherlands. He knew that Tim Horton was a Canadian ice hockey player. He played defense, and he later founded a coffee house or donut shop named after him. The Keener contest for this week is, what does PRISMA stand for? That's PRISMA. It was discussed briefly during part of the PICO statement, but it was not specifically explained. So if you know what PRISMA means, be the first person to email me, thesgem, at gmail, and use Keener contest in the subject line. And like I said, if you're the first person with the correct answer, I will mail you a cool skeptical prize. We'll follow the SGM on Twitter, and like the SGM on Facebook, and remember to be skeptical of anything you learn, even if you heard it on the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine. Have a great Father's Day, and talk with you next week.